tonight I just want to talk about the Garden of Gethsemane. And a little while ago, I was just sitting in a communion meeting, as we do on a Sunday, and no one brought up the garden and what Jesus went through there or anything like that. But I just became quite awestruck during the communion service, just thinking and considering what Jesus went through on the cross, and what led up to that, and just his prayer in the garden. And and for those that maybe aren't aware, the Garden of Gethsemane is it's an olive grove. Jesus was known to regularly spend time there. And at the moment, next to the Garden of Gethsemane is the Church of All Nations, which for me personally, I found not a coincidence, but I found it quite appropriate that a church where Jesus went and prayed would be called the Church of All Nations, given that the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost and it was no longer available just to a nation of people, but it became available to all nations, to all people. And so tonight I'm gonna roam out of the Amplified through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, recounting the story or the events in the garden. But for you, whether you're watching on home or here today, maybe if you'd like to either turn to Matthew 26 and verse 40 or to Mark 14 verse 32 and Luke 22:40. So just pick one of those maybe and stay there. But I'm going to move between each of them out of the Amplified. I just thought it paints quite a picture of what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane leading up to Jesus's his betrayal at the hands of Judas and his eventual arrest. And Bible scholars indicate that this night Jesus spent three hours in the Garden of Gethsemane praying and as these events occurred over that sort of period of time. And we know prior to Jesus coming and praying, he'd had the Last Supper with the disciples. He'd spoke to them about the end of the world, about the events that would occur that would lead to his return. And then he goes on to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And I'm going to start in Mark 14, but please stay where you picked to start tonight. We read out at start in verse 32 in Mark, and it goes, and then they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit down here until I have prayed." He took Peter and James and John with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled, extremely anguished at the prospect of what was to come. And then over in Luke, it goes on and says that when he had arrived at the place called Gethsemane, he said to them, "Pray continually that you may not fall into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup of divine wrath from me. Yet not my will, but always yours be done." Now an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, deeply distressed and anguished almost to the point of death, he prayed more intently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down on the ground. And in Matthew 26, we read, and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you men could not stay awake and keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep actively watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And then in Mark we finish this story here, and he goes, and he came back a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough of that. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us go. Look, my betrayer is near." And if we look at in the garden there, Jesus took with him, he took with him Peter, he took with him James, and he took with him John. And this period of time, this event's recorded in all of the Gospels with the exception of the book of John. And we, as we know, John was the disciple whom Jesus loved, that when Jesus was taken to the cross, that he gave the care of his mother to John. And that as you read the Gospel of John compared to the other Gospels, there appears a very special relationship between Jesus and the Apostle John that the other disciples, perhaps from my interpretation of the Scriptures, didn't seem to have as John had with Jesus. And, you know, I've sort of got a bit of a theory about this, and, you know, because John only starts with entering the garden and then at the end when Judas comes, you know, comes in, betrays Jesus and he's arrested. And, you know, when it talks about that Jesus goes, you know, about a stone's throw away, that's like me picking up a stone and probably pegging it at King Cairns at the back of a hole there. So it's only, you know, only maybe 10, 20 meters max away that Jesus had gone away from his disciples to pray. So he wasn't far away. You know, the disciples would have seen him. They probably would have heard him praying. And maybe as John slept, he drifted in and out of consciousness and perhaps was able to see and hear some of the things that Jesus might have experienced this time, but maybe felt a sense of shame that he couldn't wait. He couldn't stay awake. And thus he doesn't speak on it. I don't know. That's just a theory of mine, but it just got me thinking, you know, as I was sort of contemplating, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane and the Scriptures, that, you know, that as Jesus prays, you know, the common theme at the start of it was, you know, Jesus, he was born of a virgin. And this is probably the closest that as we read this and listen to this, that you and I will ever come to relating to Jesus Christ. You know, he was the Son of God, but at this moment he was anxious, we read. He was distressed. He didn't want to go through with the plan, with the purpose of God. But as he said, not my will, Father, but thine be done. You know, and he asks God to remove the burden from him, to take away the need for the sacrifice. And this is something that he would have learned in the temple. When the anointing of the Holy Ghost came on him, that he would have, you know, he would have known all things at that time and known that the sacrifice would be needed. But as we know that Jesus could have saved himself, you know, he could have called down, as we read in Matthew 26, thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? That Jesus could have called down angels from heaven to destroy the world, to set himself free. But it was never about what he desired. It was never about what his will. But as he prayed, you know, not once, not twice, but three times in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, Father, but thine be done. And you know, hematidrosis, it's also called blood sweat, and it's a pretty rare medical condition that people suffer from and is brought on by acute stress. So there's Jesus, you know, at this time where his end's drawing near in the garden, and he's praying, and he's got blood sweat coming out, and such was the anguish that he was going through. But then even time after he'd finished praying, he'd go to the disciples, and the disciples wouldn't be awake to be there with him. They wouldn't be awake to sit with him as he prepared what's to come. And Jesus' prayer was continually that you would not fall into temptation, that the disciples, with him leaving, with him having to depart this world, that they would not fall into the temptation that is in this life, that they would not fall into the temptation that they would come about. You know, and I just think that, you know, at the end there, you know, Jesus has gone from, he's quite emotional at the start and you know, anxious and worried, and goes back and waits the disciples, and he's still in agony, and he keeps going back to them. But at the end there, he's had enough. At the end there, we read, you know, Jesus has come back, and it's like a parent that continually tells her child to stop doing the same thing over and over again. You know, he asks the question, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough of that. The hour has come. You know, that even Jesus, you know, the Son of God, had enough. The disciples just couldn't stand with him, that couldn't be with him, that couldn't pray with him, you know, that couldn't withstand the temptation that was to come. And Jesus had had enough at this stage. And, you know, as I mentioned before, that, you know, as we read this, it's, you know, probably the most recorded, you know, in scripture where Jesus was so vulnerable, where, you know, I love my relationship with Christ just personally, and I, you know, I'm always in awe of what he has done and continues to do in my life and, you know, my family's life and the things that I've seen and heard. But just at this moment here, I feel like I can relate to the Son of God, that what he was about to go through in life, that, you know, he alone couldn't bear. You know, we read there that, you know, that the angels came down and strengthened him. Yeah, you know, while he was praying, that he was able to withstand it. And that each time while he prayed, that it was always never about what he wanted. It was never about what he was going to go through, what he wanted. It was always about, Lord, Father, I will do whatever it is that you ask of me. I will do whatever it is you have planned for me, not of my own will, but whatever your will is, let it be done. And, you know, and in our own life, we all have our own Garden of Gethsemane. We all have our own moments where we need to pray continually that we are not tempted, that we don't put our eyes on things that we shouldn't do, that we stay away from stuff that we know we shouldn't go near. You know, we all have that moment where as Christ, you know, talked to his disciples, you know, that this moment Christ talks to us, and pray continually that you may not enter temptation. You know, that we all have times in life where it is stressful, where we are anxious, where we feel that there are walls closing in on us, that we can't bear it anymore, that life becomes too much, but that as Christ prayed, you know, not my will, but thine be done, Father, that we can pray and that we can be strengthened from above, that when we use the Holy Ghost, that we know that God will build us up. We know that God will protect us, that he will deliver us through whatever it is we know we are coming against, you know, and it can be anything. It can be from financial to unemployment. It can be finding, you know, a husband or a wife or how we wish to serve the Lord, or whether we want to find the Lord, you know, for those watching on that don't know Jesus Christ, that haven't had the experience of receiving the Holy Ghost, but that we can seek God, and we know that there's a God that answers, but there's a God that strengthens us. There's a God that provides for us, that through the Holy Ghost, you know, Jesus has given us this amazing relationship, and it all started in the Garden of Gethsemane. It all started in quiet prayer with his Father. It started in the time of tribulation where, you know, I imagine with the disciples at the Last Supper, it might have been quite sad. It might have been something that was not quite, you know, I mean, sort of sitting there with, you know, these guys have walked and talked with Jesus for 3 years, and all of a sudden, you know, he's going to depart. And, you know, while they're talking about the sign of his second coming, is there then a thought of, well, Lord, you can prevent this today and stay with us. But we know that Jesus says that, you know, that he must go, you know, that he must leave. And, you know, I guess this bittersweet moment that you're part of these memories and these experiences, and then all of a sudden you're praying in the garden, that the people that have been with you for years, they don't stick at it. They drop off and they fall asleep. But then, you know, the eye was always on what was to come. And the question really, you know, I guess asking ourselves as we navigate whatever life has to throw at us is do we look at decision making and go, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. You know, Lord, I want to do this with my life. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Do we look to make decisions based on our own wants, our own desires, and our own thoughts, our own opinions, or in all things do we go, Lord, whatever your will is, you know, not mine, but whatever it is, let your will be done. You know, as Peter mentioned in his testimony that as a child he'd always desired signs and wonders and miracles. You know, but not out of his own will, but out of the Lord's. And Pete's got a good story about when he prayed as a child to see more signs, wonders and miracles, and said that sometimes when you pray for that, you've got to be prepared for the Lord to answer. And with that comes great tribulation. And it's an amazing thing that when we put ourselves aside and we, as Jesus said, we deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow after him. You know, it's amazing what can happen when we lose ourselves, but we gain the Lord. We might move to Jeremiah chapter 1 if we could. We're gonna finish here tonight, and we'll start in verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defence city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land, and they shall fight against thee, but thou shalt not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. You know, obviously written there by Jeremiah the prophet, but what an amazing promise there of what God is for us. You know, that this day, you know, that he's made us this day a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, okay? Against whatever may come against us, whatever fight shall come against thee, that in a day of trouble, the Lord has made us his stronghold. He has made us able to withstand all things. And, you know, whether you've walked with the Lord, you know, 70 years, or whether it's been 5 minutes, you know, that the Lord has provided a shelter and a refuge for us. And it all comes back to the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. You know, that whatever it is, whatever the situation, whatever the hope. And if you're watching or viewing for the first time tonight, that there is a hope, there is a sanctuary, there is a refuge. All it takes, and all it takes is for us to take away our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own judgments, and challenge God in whatever situation you're in. Lord, I don't know if you're out there, but prove it to me. Let thy will be done in my life. You know, I know when I came to the Lord, I saw my housemate healed of this incredible ice addiction that had consumed his life. And I knew that something had happened to him. And I didn't know, he talked to me about baptism and stuff like that. But in my hour of need, all I thought about was that if something is out there, I just want to know. I didn't know whether it was Jesus Christ, the Easter Bunny, Father Christmas, whatever. You know, I had no concept of God or religion or anything like that at all, but I just knew that I knew something was different and something had happened, and I just wanted to know if God was real. And you know, and at that moment it wasn't about me, but it was about if it was God, what could God do in my life? And tonight, folks, let us just ask ourselves, you know, if we give less of ourselves in this life and more of God, you know, where will we be? What will we see? What will we do? Amen.